Welcome back to Going Over, live from the Archview Flooring Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Grove just goes into whatever I was listening to at the gym in the morning and plays it over again. He has my spot that he's logged into my Spotify. So that's how it works. He sees what I was listening to last, and then he plays that for rejoin music. If we don't have like a topic to talk about.
Who's ever following you on the station? Maybe yeah. It's Inside STL. It comes down recent activity. So I know what like Matt Berger's played recently. So I just saw you were playing this. I'm like, oh, there's a good song.
Who listens to better music, me or Berger?
Right now you're listening to Foo Fighters and he's listening to Kiss. So I'll give you the advantage. Yes. That's probably one of the few times that'll ever happen. But
that's all right. Nice to have a W. It's going over. 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, InsideSTL.com. Joe Roderick, John Marasek, Matt Grover here with you broadcasting from the Archview Flooring Studios. Tomorrow we will be out at the kitchen sink tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah, tomorrow out at the sink. So that is where we'll be. Come on down, get some food, 10 to 12. Bruce Pritchard, Conrad Thompson will be there live. Conrad Thompson joining us also in the next 30 minutes of the show. But right now, it's time for
Grover's Corner.
And this trip into Grover's Corner brought to you by
Jerry Tanner at Tanner Law. After spending 5 years as a state court prosecutor in the circuit attorney's office, Jerry Tanner has defended criminal cases including DWI, drug offenses, assault, and even murder. Facing a criminal charge is a traumatic and stressful experience. Someone in this situation needs a skilled and experienced lawyer to protect the rights of the accused. Call Jerry for free at 314-241-1956 or visit him online at tannerlaw.net. Once again, that's 314-241-1956 or online at tannerlaw.net. And, as always,
the choice of an attorney is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisement.
That's right. How's it going, fellas?
Good.
It's still good, Grove.
That's good.
It hasn't changed in 5 minutes or two.
It's true. A lot's happened since the break. Just wanted to make sure.
It has.
I wish you both a happy National Apple Strudel Day. That's our big day today.
Now, does the cherry strudel get their own day or just the apple?
I think today's actual National Cherry Tart Day as well.
Is there a Hallmark card for that?
There probably is.
Get a two for one?
I'm sure by next year there will be. They're working on it.
A two for one apple strudel Father's Day special?
Right.
The apple strudel's pretty good.
Apple strudel.
I brought you a, this is usually the time of the show when we eat at the sink or wherever we are in remote. So today I went and I got a Casey's breakfast pizza.
Very healthy.
Yeah. So Grove would have something to eat while we were also eating.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. The thought was greatly, you know, warm the cockles of the heart.
Did you hear the part earlier where Joe said, I went to the gym?
Yeah.
And now he's eating this.
But he'll run 20 miles today.
I'll be back at the gym later. Sauna suit, 5 miles on the elliptical.
It's like Triple H over here.
You're not going to be outside?
I don't know yet.
These are the hot days, apparently. I know it's supposed to rain tonight, but you like the days where you can, it's 110 and you can wear a hoodie.
I know. Yeah, no, I'll be at the gym in the sauna suit. Yesterday
you
I went.
You wear a sauna suit?
Yeah. When I do cardio in the evening.
I didn't
evening.
Even know they really made those things.
Yeah, anymore. I do the sauna suit with a hoodie.
Is it like the one that AC Slater would wear to make weight?
Probably. I don't go with pants, though. I don't go sauna pants.
Well, then it's not a suit.
Okay,
it's
well, like I just go with the top. Jacket. I have the pants. I just don't wear
then
them.
Then you wear a sauna jacket.
Yes.
So you go shirt, no pants.
Yeah, I go Got I Winnie it. The Pooh it, okay? I Winnie the Pooh. I go sauna Winnie the Pooh. At the gym in the afternoons and the evenings.
My kids think that's hilarious, by the way. They do that. They drop that all the time. Whoa, shirt, no pants. Look at that, shirt, no pants. Yeah. Ever since you brought that up.
Oh, they heard me say it. Nice. Yeah. Winnie the Pooh in it.
It's big with the mascots. It's called also be just about any mascot.
Yes. True.
The Cubs mascot goes shirt, no pants. Yeah. Or did. Does he still?
Do the Cubs still have that mask?
Yeah, Clark the Cub. Yeah, he's still pantless.
Such a creep.
Uh-huh.
both the Blues and the Cardinals mascots.
Yeah. Rampage wore pants and now he's gone.
Yeah, well, he just wasn't like the rest of them.
So that was it.
Yeah. You now can't have that.
That's where it all went off the rails.
No, I ran 2 miles in a hoodie yesterday. I'm trying to get my first mile under 8 minutes. That's one of my other goals right now, is to get that first mile under outside. I could do it on a treadmill, because on the treadmill, you just set it. Like, you could set the pace and go, but outside, you're kind of at your own pace. So yesterday, I did the 8 minute and 10 second mile. So I'm trying to get it under 7 minutes. And I'm trying to figure out how to pace myself to where I could run, I don't know, 5 to 7 miles at 10 minutes a mile. I have no idea how to pace myself for long distance runs, though.
I'm anti-running.
Are you trying to do the half marathon?
I will eventually, yes. I think I have the calf situation figured out with all the lifting I have done and really getting after it on the leg day. I think that was one of the issues, that the legs weren't strong enough and the calves kept straining. So I think the legs are strong enough now to where I can actually run long distances.
You know, you don't have to run the whole thing. You can do the run, walk, run, walk, run, walk.
If I run a half marathon, I'm running it in under 2 hours.
Okay. Wow. All right. Fine.
And we've established you're not going to get one of those bumper stickers on your car that says 13.1 if you do it.
No.
Like, you're not going to be one of those people.
No.
Not that that isn't an impressive accomplishment.
No tat still. Of the 13.1, nothing like that.
You should find someone, a running partner, and you should both run it, and then you can get, like, matching tats or, like,
Like he gets the 13.131 and I just get the dot in between. Okay.
I like, you know.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
I see.
God, that's a 9 minute mile to run it in 2 hours.
Okay.
13.
More math.
Nine
a lot of math
miles.
Today on the show.
I don't like math.
Oh.
I do like sports. You guys want to talk a little sports?
Sure.
All right. We'll start with Cardinal baseball. How about that? You guys have talked a lot about that so far in the first hour, but Cardinals, they're in Charm City to take on the Baltimore Orioles.
They're in where?
Charm City.
Where'd that come from?
Baltimore is known as Charm City.
Remember
Duff from...
really?
Yes.
Charm is that City why they played a game with no fans last year?
Right. Well, it's not so charming last week. You're talking to a guy from Ferguson, so I'm going to leave all of that, those comments off the... They are in Baltimore.
It's 3-1. What's the phone number?
855-282-TALK. 855.
What's Grove's email address?
282-8255.
It's Matt. GRO.
Whatever.
VER.
88 at Mac. Whatever Andy Hanselman believes it is, find him.
Whatever Hanselman, which is incorrect.
Right. That's the one you want to go with. Cardinals, they're in Baltimore. 3-game set. Last night, the Cardinals rode the strength of five home runs, a strong pitching performance from Carlos Martinez to take game one in blowout fashion, 11-2. Two teams back at it this afternoon. First pitch set for 3:05 from Oriole Park. Adam Wainwright gets a start for the Cards. 7-4 on the season with an ERA of 4.73. Wade Miley goes for the Orioles. He's 2-4 with an ERA of 3.97. All right.
You win this series, and then you have the Phillies coming up next. It's a chance to
get
maybe turn things around and maybe show that you don't suck as much as some people think you do.
You just got to beat the hell out of the bad teams. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it. You want to win and get to the postseason, beat the hell out of the bad teams and stay close to .500 against the good teams, and you make it.
There you go. Winning formula. We go to hockey. We're just one day away from finding out who the Vegas Golden Knights will be able to choose from in the expansion draft set for next Wednesday.
A lot of excitement.
Yeah, I know. Teams have until this afternoon to submit their list of protected and unprotected players. As for the Blues, it's all but certain the team will protect goalie Jake Allen, defenseman Alex Pietrangelo, Joel Edmondson, and Jay Bomeister, and forwards Vladimir Tarasenko, Jaden Schwartz, Alexander Steen, Paul Stastny, Patrick Berglund, and Vladimir Sobotka. That just leaves one spot available for forwards Ryan Reeves, David Perron, Dmitry Yaskin, Magnus Pajärvi, and Kyle Brodziak. We will have the full and official list tomorrow, plus any other interesting news and notes revolving around this expansion draft and teams' unprotected list, as they will be made public tomorrow morning just in time for Grover's Corner. So stay tuned tomorrow if we have time. Amongst all the excitement going on around Money in the Bank and Something to Wrestle, we'll get to that. Speaking of drafts, NBA draft set for next Thursday. The Celtics have the top pick, and most pundits project they will take Markelle Fultz, the point guard from Washington. But rumors have surfaced lately that The Celtics may entertain the thought of trading down or getting creative and finding other avenues, such as trading future first-round picks to move, I guess, lower in the draft or get a player lower in the draft, such as Jason Tatum out of Chaminade. One rumored report that, Joe, you pointed out to me was with the 76ers that would require a future first-round pick getting traded, the 76ers trading, taking Tatum and then flipping him to the Celtics, correct?
They, I guess they would, yeah, they would swap the first and third pick. So the Sixers would pick first, the Celtics would pick third. That way the Sixers could get Markelle Fultz, and then the Lakers take Lonzo Ball, and then the Celtics would take Jason Tatum and get a future first-round pick from the Sixers. So what it looks like the Celtics would be doing is loading up on future first-round picks and prospects, so by the time the Cavaliers aren't good anymore and LeBron stops making every single finals, the Celtics can step in and say, okay, we could be good now with these guys.
Don't the Celtics have like four first-rounders in the next few years?
Something yeah, they got the Nets first-round picks, and now they're about to get another one from the Sixers. Jeez. So, yeah, they're loaded. Did you ever play against Tatum's dad?
Yeah.
You did? Mm-hmm.
CBC.
I was going to say, I thought you guys were around the same age.
We are exactly the same
age. Oh, exactly the same age.
You played against the Hughes and Tatum team.
Yeah, we were the only St. Louis team that beat him in 97.
How about that?
96, 97.
And then there was Matt Bonyak was another big name. For
yeah,
the
just Matt.
Right? Johnny Parker.
I played with us.
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah, we had some awesome games. Well, I think every game we played against CBC from 95 through 97 was, I think, within... Well, three of the four were within a couple of points, and then we won by like 10, 12 in districts. But no, they were all – every game we played against them sold out. It was awesome. It was so – God, it was fun.
The atmosphere was crazy.
Yeah, when you come in and 2 hours before the gym is full, it's ridiculous. It was – yeah. One of the games we had to have our bus rerouted so that we could even get to the gym,
really?
To the school.
I never –
That was 2 hours before. I was in our district final. It was a different time. It was a fun time. That was back when, you know – kids cared about high school basketball. And
I think
went
they
to
still
the
do. If your team's good, kids still care.
They don't fill the gym like they used to. Every game we played.
Did you go to any games where Jason Tatum played at Chaminade?
I didn't go to theirs, but I went to about four or five of Webster's games last year.
Were they packed though?
No.
The only
one that was full, the one that was sold out, was our 23 union game the year before. And apparently it's not like that all the time, which is really sad, especially now because they've got two of the best players in the country on their team and are coming off a state championship. And hopefully that'll be better next year and the kids will come out. I mean, but on Tuesday when like 30 kids come out to a game, that's sad because it didn't used to be like that.
Alton-Edwardsville this past year, I know they always had good crowds. Unfortunately, Alton's best player, the D1 player on Alton's team, couldn't stay eligible for most of the season. But I know Belleville East, East St. Louis was packed when they played this past year. And yeah, I got to be a part of a few of those, be in the gym for a few of those games. I say a part of, I'm not going to pretend like I had anything to do with these games. I actually, you know, stepped on the court for them. But whenever, you know, back when I go into those games where the JV games were packed, where you had to get in early for
That's
the
awesome.
JV games, Darius Miles games, when Alton played Darius Miles. Those were, you showed up an hour before the JV game.
To get in.
To get a seat, and every single seat was filled watching the JV game.
That's what our game at CBC, and this was with Justin and Larry, our junior year was. It was sold out before, I think it was sold out before the game, before game day. But, and with all it said too, though, Webster's fans travel like hell down in Columbia. And there were a lot of people from the community that showed up.
Yeah.
But I just like to see, I just wish the kids, there's just so much other crap going on that the excitement of going to watch your friends play basketball isn't there anymore. Not like it used to be.
Yeah. So that would give the Sixers Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz along with the process. Joel Embiid.
Now, if you draft Lonzo Ball, do you have to say that draft Lonzo and LeVar Ball? Do you have to say his father's name when he's drafted?
Grove, tomorrow for Father's Day, we have to get the new Foot Locker commercial.
Okay.
We have to download the new Foot Locker commercial because it is awesome.
It in the system. I do have a question, though, about you two more basketball pundits than I am here. Lonzo Ball and the Lakers and all. Do you think there's a chance that they don't take him? Or does something crazy happen, like maybe Boston realizes the Lakers want him and they either take him and try to hold him hostage, or they do something to, I know longtime rivals, would maybe something like that happen? I mean, it's not the deepest draft we've ever seen in the NBA. I mean, there's not a LeBron or trying to think, even like a Kyrie Irving type, is there in this draft?
I don't know enough about Fultz to really talk him up. I just think that there's a lot of guys that teams are high on, but I think it's based on where they are projected to pick. Right. I think that so many people are high on Markel Fultz as the number one guy, but then I think you look down in that 3 to 6 range and you look and you go, wow, Jason Tatum, he could be a really big star in the NBA, but he's not good enough to go number one overall, but he's probably good enough to go 4 overall.
Right. Well, we'll see that draft again, NBA draft Thursday. We'll see how it all shakes out then and where Chaminade alum, St. Louis native Jason Tatum ends up. A couple quick notes. We got to speed this up a little bit. MMA boxing news. After months of speculation and anticipation, you can circle the date. August 26, 2017, retired boxing legend Floyd Money Mayweather, who is 49-0 in his career, will take on mixed martial arts superstar and UFC lightweight champion Conor McGregor.
Friend of the show.
Yes, at the T-Mobile Center in Las Vegas.
He's appeared on the show. Jay and I had him on in Phoenix at the Super Bowl.
Friend of the show.
Yes. Friend of the show.
Anyone who has been on the show
is
a friend of the show.
Whether they like it or not.
Right. They would never maybe.
We've never been hung up on.
Well, he was sitting with you.
He sat with us and he cussed a lot.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. When I brought up CM Punk, he dropped S and F bombs left and right. It was a heavily edited interview.
Yes, that was
good thing
fun.
Not live.
A lot of beep, beep.
Yeah. Girl, yeah, Grove, you edited that one, didn't you?
Yeah, that was fun. Good times. Anyway, as said, the match will take place in Vegas at the T-Mobile Center. That place holds about 20,000 people. It's a boxing match. No kicking or elbowing or kneeing or any of that stuff. Should McGregor go rogue, he'll be fined heavily. It's a contracted weight of 154 pounds. So, boxing match, 154 pounds. No MMA rules. No titles on the line. So, the lightweight title will not be on the line. Mayweather relinquished his titles when he retired at 49-0. I guess if he wins this, which he probably will, he goes to 50-0.
Why do people want to see
this?
Sure. Floyd's going to destroy him. You have a professional boxer against against a fighter who's not allowed to fight. He's not allowed to kick.
And he can't go rogue because he does face fines. But he's in an environment like this. I would think, wouldn't adrenaline take over and maybe just instinct? And what happens if that does happen? That he does throw a knee or an elbow or try to kick Floyd Mayweather? I mean,
okay, then he gets fined. Fine going to outweigh? Again, this is all just so that they can get paid. Nobody cares about anything else except getting paid. That's all that they want. But I don't know why you would. What is the? I don't see the appeal of watching a professional boxer, unless they work it. Unless it ends up being a work and they try and then just stretch this thing out.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
it's like wrestling where you get a DQ and it's like, oh, we're going again.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, you know, Mayweather's been known for getting in the ring and trying to actually fight people. He just kind of dances around, so.
Well, yeah, but then will this be like, okay, the first time's boxing, now we're going to do it again in 6 months?
And no, Mayweather staff would never sign up for that. Mayweather would never put himself in a position where he can lose.
Yeah. No. Moving on from
that. They're probably like, for real, this guy wants to box? this real life, he wants to box me?
From everything I've read, this will be a fight where the anticipation and the buildup will be great, and then the fight will actually happen, and it will be a major total letdown, catastrophe, just total disappointment. But the trash talk.
It's your fault if you build it up to something that could be special.
Oh, it will be, but you know all these media outlets are going to do that. But we'll see. Anyway, that's August 26th. We'll find out, and we'll see what happens. I'm sure there'll be HBO specials and 24/7 stuff and all that. We'll stick with MMA. We'll wrap this up here. Sad news. Former UFC welterweight champion Matt Hughes is in critical condition after his truck collided with a train yesterday morning in Hillsborough, Illinois. He was airlifted to a hospital in Springfield. He's currently in recovery. And according to UFC president Dana White, he sustained head trauma amongst other injuries.
Quickly on that, I was actually up in that area yesterday, and I don't know what's going on up in that area. The Hillsborough, I was up in Gillespie near Hillsborough. And I guess this is the third car slash train accident in the past like 2 weeks or so.
Yikes.
Up there. Yeah,
that's.
I know. I don't understand. Nobody could really give a reason as to why, but they said that this is the third one that has happened recently. So it's very, very strange.
Right. I mean, unless there would be something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I mean, they should be guardrails up, and you would see a train.
Mm-hmm. Right. But... So
anyway, U.S. Golf. U.S. Open Golf, rather. Round three, moving day to day. Four-way tie atop the leaderboard. Paul Casey, Brian Harmon, Brooks Koepka, and Tommy Fleetwood.
Koepka.
All sit atop the leaderboard at 7-under par going into their third rounds. Three other golfers, including Ricky Fowler, nipping at their heels at 6-under. And finally, on this day, June 17th in 1989, the New Kids on the Block topped the Billboard charts with this song, I'll Be Loving You Forever. And more, I guess, recent and more topical. This date, 1994. Do you guys know what happened?
The OJ chase.
Yes, the white Bronco OJ chase. Al Collins behind the wheel. I was sitting there looking to watch a little step-by-step and the rest of the TGIF lineup. Didn't happen. Instead, watched a Bronco down the highways in L.A.
You were watching step-by-step instead of the Bulls in the NBA Finals?
I was like 10.
Jesus Christ.
I was.
So was 94, I wasn't 10.
Yeah, I was just
saying. I was in eighth grade.
That would have changed as I got older, but at the time, you know.
I guess I was in high school.
1994.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's it for me, guys.
Exciting times.
Yes.
Terrifying times.
That's it?
That's it. It's back to you. We got
all right. Guests. Thank you very much, Grove. We will take a quick break. On the other side, Conrad Thompson of the podcast Something to Wrestle With, also What Happened When Mondays, and I'm just going to hand things off to John since Conrad will be hanging out with us tomorrow as well here on Going Over.